Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers of this debate for inviting us. We regard it as a unique chance to enhance the density of information about the project, because I think a lot of discussion are based on a lack of information, and therefore I would like to focus on some economic aspects of this project. So, giving you a short introduction, a lot of aspects were already mentioned. We would like to build a direct connection between the world's biggest gas reserves and the growing markets in Europe. We can contribute with a maximum capacity of 55 billion cubic meters to 25% of additional needs, although this is a question which has been discussed already in the morning. At the moment, we are finalizing the detailed engineering, which has been started 2 years ago, and we are finalizing a transboundary environmental impact assessment as an outcome of a very intensive international consultation process involving all the countries around the Baltic Sea. That means that every 2 months a group of representatives of nine states meets to discuss any detail of an environmental impact assessment. I will come back later to some contracts and business progress of this project. For underlining the European dimension of the project, I would refer to the shareholders. As you can see, there are four, Gazprom was a majority, and two German companies, and Gasunie as a state-owned Dutch company joined this consortium some weeks ago. We will come back, I'm sure, in the discussion about should Nord Stream bypass some countries or not. If you take the capacities, we would like to build an additional route needed for additional deliveries and with a new way for a direct connection. I only would like to refer to some aspects which were discussed already in the morning. Regarding security of supply, we know that there will be a growing demand and we need some additional infrastructure. If we speak about the diversification, I think it is necessary for the countries in the European Union to diversify their sources. It is also a legitimate intention of a supplier to diversify his routes. So I think that this is an interesting aspect of diversification on both sides. If we take this solidarity, we should see, and this is something what also the Nord Stream company takes quite seriously, that a secure supply has to be guaranteed for every country. So that means for the bigger and smaller countries, and for new or old members of the EU, or for the countries in the East or in the West. If you see, have a look on this bubbles here on the right, you can see that there are different growth of demand in different countries, and the biggest growth is in Western Europe, and this is, let's say, first intention of Nord Stream. If we speak about additional transport capacities, there's a long range of projects which should fill the gaps. Nord Stream is one of it, according to the EU, definitely a very important and a quite advanced project, but it is sure that it's not Nord Stream alone who can fill the gap in future. Regarding the security of supply for the countries around the Baltic Sea, I would repeat the fact that one of our shareholders, the company Vingas, has offered different options for creating a direct access for Poland to Western European grids. There is the idea of a reverse flow in the Yamal pipeline. There's also the offer for a direct connection to the OPAL pipeline. Therefore, I think there are options for securing the supply with additional projects. And as far as I know, these options are, let's say, negotiated. And this is a good signal for a common understanding of diversification and security of supply. Given the importance for Europe, Nord Stream belongs to the project on the 10E list. This process has not been started in 2005 or so, but already in 2000. And Nord Stream was designated as a project of European interest again in 2006. Some economic aspects of a politically controversial project. If we regard the economy, the present plan is an outcome of a feasibility study which had been started already in the 1990s, and it was not a German company involved there, but a Finnish Russian consortium. As an outcome, this consortium suggested a pipeline through the Baltic Sea, and given a lot of detailed studies, we can see pros and cons for both versions, for an onshore and an offshore pipeline. I do not want to go into detail, but maybe that some special question could be discussed in the following question and answers. What we can see if we take the environment, there is a clear advantage regarding the fuel gas based on the lower number of compressor station units. There is an obvious advantage regarding the CO2 emission from the operation of such a project. If we take the cost, and this is based on two studies of two independent institutes, we have to make a very detailed and comprehensive cost comparison. This cost comparison has to include the initial investment as well as the operational cost. It was quite important for renowned companies like BASF and E.ON to get the proof that from the economic point of view, pipeline through the Baltic Sea has some advantages. And based on these calculations, we have a cost advantage of 15% after a period of 25 years for a project which is planned for at least 50 years operation. We have, so regarding some other, let's say, impetus for the economic development in Europe, we have reached some big progress in the, let's say, contractory side of our project. Our latest calculation of 7.4 billion euros is based on letter of intents and contracts we've signed with the most important suppliers. We have on Monday signed the contract with the UK company Saipem with a volume of more than 1 billion euro for the pipeline laying. Given the fact that we have ordered the pipes for the first string, that we have signed the contracts for the pipeline laying, and that we will sign in a short time contracts for the logistic, more than 80% of this investment is already, let's say, fixed with on different levels of agreement. And at the moment, I think nobody else has a more detailed view of costs and calculation than Nord Stream. And we have a very detailed insight into the structure of cost and into the long-term, let's say, payback of investments. regarding the involvement of European companies, it is obvious something else in the German-Russian project. This is not only the question of shareholders, what I've already explained. We have among the contractors the biggest investments for companies in the United Kingdom, in Italy, France and Germany, and we have involved a lot of suppliers from the Baltic region, so Denmark, Sweden, Finland and others. Regarding the gas volumes, more than two-thirds of the capacities of our first pipe are already contracted with companies in France, Germany, Denmark and UK, and these companies will sell the gas throughout the whole of Europe. Coming back to one important issue as a part of the political discussion, so there are a lot of environmental concerns and we are aware of it. We will finish in a short time the most comprehensive investigation ever done in the Baltic Sea. All in all, we will have spent for the environmental surveys and environmental plannings more than 100 million euros, and this will contribute to the knowledge of the environmental situation in the Baltic Sea. Based on the existing results, we can say that pipelines through the Baltic Sea can really meet environmental needs, and we can minimize impacts, and this is a challenge all the other infrastructure projects are faced with, and these are pipelines between Estonia and Finland, pipelines planned between Poland and Denmark, sea cables between Lithuania and Sweden, wind parks and other projects. So thanks a lot for your attention.